how has the COVID-19 pandemic actually impacted right-wing extremism?
Well, that's a really good question, and actually we're about to start some research exploring that. Initial findings from other studies have suggested that being at home, being online, has increased our exposure to different narratives, some of which are very heavily focused in the conspiracy domain. And we've seen a lot of conspiracy theories about COVID-19, about its origins, its impact, that it's not actually real, etc. And exposure to conspiracy theories that are ultimately anti-democratic, anti the institutions that support democracy, even if that's not obvious at first reading, is deeply problematic. The more we're exposed to them, some people find themselves kind of caught up in that and believing of those, which is problematic.
Well, probably the most famous example is the QAnon conspiracies that took root in the United States. Is there a real indication of how deeply these are believed by also right-wing extremists? Are they sort of deeply believed, or is this being used more as a propaganda recruiting tool?
So QAnon has, as you've referenced, become an incredibly prominent conspiracy theory that is absolutely 100% anti-democratic, deeply anti-Semitic as well, deeply anti-other. And we saw that in our research when we were looking online at right-wing extremism prior to COVID. We saw in Australia, we saw significant growth of references to QAnon. And QAnon is a conspiracy theory. And you know, Jen Berger talks about conspiracy theories as crisis narratives. But these are popular narratives because they take a problem, they identify why the problem has occurred and what you can do about it. And that's really reassuring to people. And right-wing extremists have appropriated these. You know, they are really, really useful tools to engage people who are turned off usually by anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, anti-Asian sentiment. These are people who wouldn't necessarily see themselves as racist, as anti-democratic. But they are looking for solutions to the real problems that they're experiencing, the challenges that COVID created, the challenges that life's thrown at them. And QAnon provides those very easy packaging of a problem and a solution. And right-wing extremists have appropriated them and used them as a recruitment tool.
And that growth that you mentioned there, if we're to take right-wing extremism as a transnational threat, as Antonio Guterres from the United Nations says, just how much of an increase have we seen in that growth in places like here in Australia, but around the world?
Look, I think it's really hard to use the term right-wing extremism because it covers so many different types of things. Mm. But we have globally seen a rise in populist governments and populist sentiment. And studies have shown a rise in anti-Asian sentiment here in Australia, Islamophobia here in Australia. And our research definitely pointed to, you know, a growth of content and narratives that have been associated with anti-democratic groups and ideas and narratives, and anti-democratic that ideas and narratives that are seeking a radical overthrow of society through violence. And so, yeah, these are growing. It isn't a space that is diminishing.
In the United States, we sort of saw a bit of an eye opener around the Capitol coup. Obviously, this, you know, the swearing in of Joe Biden, or previous to the swearing in of Joe Biden as the U.S. president. And since Biden entered office, there's kind of been talk of a crackdown on, in particular, white nationalism in places like the U.S. military. But for here in Australia, how do we see this threat actually being addressed? Do we actually see it being addressed on the same level?
Look, I think that there are many different programs being that are in place that address violent extremism, right? All kinds of extremism. All extremism is anti-democratic. Violent extremism is seeking to overthrow the democracy that we subscribe to through violent means. And there are many programs at a government level and a community level that seek to address the vulnerabilities that contribute to people's engagement in that. I don't think that the government's doing nothing. I think it's obviously there's always more that can be done to address that. There are double standards, arguably. There are deep problems of inequality that plague Australian society that do need addressing and that do need to be raised. And from an education perspective, in terms of people's engagement and attraction to these narratives and agendas, you know, more can always be done. But I don't think that we're not doing anything. But the deplatforming of key influencers, you know, is one such solution, but it's only one part of the problem, you know. And there needs to be a comprehensive approach to addressing all of the different elements that contribute to the attractiveness of these deeply violent and anti-democratic agendas.
Almost a tiered approach in terms of, well, for one, approaching directly those platforms or individuals that might, you know, put a face to these kind of things, but also addressing obviously the systemic issues and the crisis itself. Obviously, the crisis we mentioned at the top there was COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, people are, you know, people often ask me why people are attracted to these conspiracy theories, because we're living in a time of crisis, and you know, to say it's hard to say, well, all of these complicated things have all come together and impinged on your life and made this really, like, made you live through these really hard times. And here's the solution. You know, actually, it's not real. It's the state of the government, or the government's made it up in order to do this. And there's a solution. You know, the point of a crisis narrative, the point of QAnon isn't that it's saying it's just the fault of the cabal. It's just the fault of the Muslims or the Jews or whoever they want to blame. It's not just that they're identifying the problem, but they're saying that you, in your life, you can do something about it. You can be part of the change. You can, you know, and built into that is a deep skepticism of anybody who tries to counter that message to you, because of course they must be part and parcel of the problem. And so it's very challenging, but it does reassure people. It gives them an easy solution, and we all want easy solutions at times. It's hard.
A simple, if deeply incorrect, answer to what is obviously very complicated problems.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Liz, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning. Obviously, it's a growing issue, and an issue I think there's a growing awareness of. Do appreciate your time.
No, thank you very much for asking me the questions.